Colossians. Let's turn to the book of Colossians chapter 1. We're going to begin reading in verse 9. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Father, we thank You for the Word of God today, and I pray that You'd help me to be a blessing. And I pray, Lord, that You'd work in every heart. You know what we need. And Lord, just help us to receive what we need from Your Word. If there's something that's wrong, open our eyes to it to where we'd get it right. And Lord, bless Your people, we pray. Again, we pray for those that are not here. And just pray You take the Word of God and use it in the heart of everybody, whether they hear it here or whether they hear it on the internet or whatever the case may be. We just ask Your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I would like to preach to you this morning on the miracle of the blood of Jesus Christ. The miracle of the blood of Jesus Christ. And have you ever thought about it, the blood of Christ? You know, the passage of Scripture we have there, when it talks about the miracle of the blood of Christ, when the Bible talks about the blood of Christ, we hear about it so much. We've gotten to the point in most of our culture that people don't want to talk about the blood of Christ. They just want to talk about the death of Jesus. And they don't want to talk about the blood of Christ. People are upset about a sacrificial atonement. And they have a difficulty with it many times. And so you don't hear it as much. But the blood of Jesus Christ is a miracle. It is the greatest miracle. The shedding of His blood is the greatest miracle. I mean, there are a lot of great miracles surrounding the life of Christ, His virgin birth. And that factors into the blood of Christ, obviously, because Christ was without sin. His blood was sinless and perfect. And that factors into it, and the fact of his deity, God being in human flesh, that's a miraculous thing. But none of that is worth anything without the shedding of His blood. And when you look at this miracle of the blood of Christ, I want you to think about it. Christ died for the sins of the world. He bore in His own body our sins when He was on the tree. And He shed His blood as an atonement, as a covering for sin. And the Bible tells us, if you go to the book of Revelations chapter 1, it says, "Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins with His own blood." In His own blood. That tells me that the blood of Jesus Christ is miraculous to such a degree that it eclipses every other miracle. We all look in this day and age, and I said earlier, we're going to get to the point where we're going to need God to do the miraculous just to live in this culture. I mean, let's just be honest about it. Look at what they tried to do with the pandemic. They basically, in some places, were refusing medical attention to people who had not, for conscience sake, not taken the vaccine. And they were actually saying, we should refuse them any medical services. Now, if they go to actually doing that, where else are you going to have to go? We're going to need to see the miraculous. There may come a time when it's necessary. And I don't have any doubt that God's going to answer prayer. But whatever the case may be, we look at miracles all the time and we have problems and we pray for God to do the miraculous. And I've seen God do the miraculous, not just in my life, but in the life of other people. I've seen God provide in ways that I never thought He would ever provide. I've had enemies provide. God used enemies to provide for me in my life when things were going crazy. I've seen some crazy things going on. And I'm just things I can look up and I can talk about. I can spend the better part of today just talking about the miracles that God has done in my life, the things He's done for me, the times He's healed, the times He's blessed, the times He's provided. I mean, I remember being a young Christian, just saved. And just saved and reading my Bible. And I just had such a hunger to read the Bible. I wanted to know it. I wanted to see it. And I wanted to understand it. And I started reading it. And I was in the shipyard as a young Christian. And there was a Mormon there that was... He found out that I just got saved. Boy, he zeroed in on me like nothing. And he was on me. And trying to get me, bend me over to Mormon doctrine and everything like that. And trying to pretend how he was a Christian and everything like that. And yes, I said that. Mormons are not Christians.
That's right.
They don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible.
That's right.
And they don't believe in the salvation of the Bible. And they need to hear the gospel. But I had that Mormon elder and he was there. He was a shipyard worker and he was in on me. And it was uncanny that I would... Every time he would start bringing something up, I had just read something in the Bible that contradicted what he said. And God protected me as a young Christian. And I look back on that and I say, wow, that's a miraculous thing. And I could spend a long time talking about those things, but when we look at this focus of the blood of Jesus Christ, of the things that the Bible says about the blood of Christ, it says that we have redemption through His blood. Redemption. Now, what is that? What is that redemption that it's talking about? It's talking about the word redeem. To redeem something means to buy it back. All right? And the Bible talks about us being redeemed not by corruptible things, but by the precious blood of Christ. Our redemption is that. So we have literally been bought back. But you think about the blood of Christ and you think about the miracle of that blood, the sinlessness of His blood. What we have a hard time wrapping our head around is that blood is the atonement for all sin that ever was committed by mankind or ever will be committed by mankind. It's the blood of Jesus that enables us as Christians to grow little by little, come from being lost and knowing nothing to growing up in the Lord and faltering and failing and able to get back up and able to have a right relationship with God. Like it says in 1 John, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleansed us from all sins.
Amen.
All of it. We have, by the blood of Jesus, access to the holiest of all, into the very presence of God. It is the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus that makes it possible for us, for the Scripture to say, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That redemption, that ability of being bought back from the consequences and the ravages of sin.
Yeah.
Is the greatest miracle of all. It is that the blood of Christ, if you look at what the Bible says, Ephesians 1:7, much like it says in Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Ephesians 1:14, it talks about the redemption, the earnest of our inheritance, the Spirit of God indwelling us, being the earnest of our inheritance until the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. It is because of the blood of Christ that the Holy Spirit can indwell the believer. You see, when Jesus told the disciples that the Comforter was with them but would be in them, that day after he rose from the dead, and after He had paid the penalty for sin, after of His blood had been shed, and He had a body of flesh and bone quickened by the Spirit of God, He breathed on His disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now, did He lie or did He tell the truth? See, a lot of the teaching today is that, well, the Holy Spirit didn't indwell the believers until the day of Pentecost. That's not true. That's not true at all. Because if that were the case, that would mean that they weren't redeemed until the day of Pentecost. But Jesus came there. Now, the day of Pentecost has is very important to us, but it's also very important to the nation of Israel. And that day of Pentecost is extremely important for a lot of different reasons. But that wasn't the birthday of the church. That wasn't the day that the people were redeemed. They were redeemed, and our redemption was completed when Christ rose from the dead incorruptible. And that is what happened. It was the shedding of that blood that was our redemption. And when Jesus met His disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost," and breathed on them, they were indwelt at that very instant, at that very second. And since that time, in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "In whom that ye also trusted, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise," right? At that moment, and then in Ephesians 4:30, we're told how long that sealing is. "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption." That day of redemption being the redemption of our body, when we'll have a new body, fashioned like unto His glorious body. So we have that, but all of that comes because of the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. An amazing miracle. And I don't know about you, but when I look at the blood of Christ, it looks at what we look at what the Bible says about the blood of Christ and the things that the Scripture says about the blood of Christ in relation to our redemption. Hebrews 9:12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That is an eternal redemption. You know what that tells me as a Christian? That tells me that my past is redeemed. That everything about my life is redeemed. That I have no... There is nothing... Nothing that can stop me from living in and receiving and walking in the blessing of God. I do not need to look at circumstance or the world or anything else. I need only look at the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is the basis for what steps I will take, what decisions I will make. So many times we live in defeat when it's not necessary. You say, but preacher, I failed. Okay, you failed. It's because of the blood of Christ that that failure is not eternal. It is because of the blood of Christ that you can confess your sins with the desire and the heart to forsake them, and we're cleansed from all unrighteousness. We can get up. You say, preacher, you preach this all the time. But I'm trying to get you to see the miraculous. So many times we have people that sit in this world and they walk through this world and they want to see a miracle. They want to see some great thing for God to do. They want a dog and pony show. They want to see something. And there may come a time when God does that. But most people, what they're looking for is some little piddling nothing. Oh, I want to see somebody healed. I want to see somebody raised from the dead. You know, Brother Lazarus got raised from the dead, but then he had to go back. The widow's son, the widow of Nain, Jesus came along, touched the funeral bier, the son got up, he lived long enough to take care of his mama, then he had to die again. And the little girl that Jesus raised from the dead, they all had to deal with death yet again. It was temporary, wasn't it? It was the work. It was there to show people that Jesus was who the Bible says He was, so that they could believe in the shed blood of Christ as payment for their sins and redemption to be bought back. You know what that redemption means? That redemption means that failure does not follow me forever. Even, and you say, but preacher, we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and our works will be tried by fire. That's true. And so those works will follow us. Not really. Because once that's done, it's done, it's over with, and it's never going to be done again. And when I stand before that judgment seat of Christ and my works are tried as wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones, those things that are tried, that is simply a matter of whether or not I made the most of the redemption that God provided for me right here. It's not going to be whether I was perfect and whether I was did super great things for God. A lot of it's going to be whether I just believed God enough to get up and go on and serve God when I failed. And I confessed it and I said, Father, forgive me. And I believed that when he said that He would forgive, that He did forgive. And I got up and began to serve God. Because I'm redeemed. Because of that miracle of redemption. I want you to think about this very carefully. I want you to think about it. If we go to 1 John 1:9 and we talk about that the blood of Jesus, all those sins have already been paid for. And so God simply acknowledging and saying to us that we need to come, get our heart right with Him, confess what was wrong. And He says He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We know God's faithful. But He's also just to say you're forgiven. Even though you failed Him. Even though He saved your soul and you failed as a Christian. And yet He is just to forgive you. If you go over to the book of Romans, it says this. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, it says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. What I'm trying to say to you is through the miracle of redemption, the miracle of the blood of Christ, that God is just and your justifier. He's the one that says, if we confess our sins, that He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Every bit of it. That is the miracle of the blood of Christ. I'm not saying that we shouldn't care about sin and we should just go on and sin and do whatever we want to do. That's not what I'm saying. I'm simply saying that, I mean, if you understand the great price that was paid, our hearts ought to be different. But even as we grow, as we fail, sometimes our failing is just we fail to just believe God. We kind of let circumstances and situations dictate what we're going to believe and what we're not going to believe. We don't believe in what God's promises the way we should. That's our unbelief is probably our biggest sin that we need to. And every sin that we have is really a result of unbelief. But at some point, we've got to get to the point where we simply say and realize the truth that this miracle of Christ's blood, the shedding of His blood, the atonement, the redemption that was purchased by His blood is of such magnitude that it could save any soul from any sin and keep any believer forever. An eternal redemption. To where you and I can walk out of here and we can walk out with confidence that, hey, if we come before God and we get things right with God, we walk out righteous. Or whether you're in your house and you say, Father, forgive me, I've sinned. We get up righteous and we're fit to serve God. You say, I don't feel fit. I'm not asking how you feel. I'm asking you to believe in the miracle of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And such a miracle that it's enough for everybody out there. That there's nobody. You say, well, the Bible talks about people with a reprobate mind. I understand that. But you don't know who that is. And I don't either. Because the only one that can see in your mind is God. The only one that can see in your heart is God. You and Him, you know where you are. But our job is not to figure out who's reprobate. Our job is to get the gospel out. Our job is to tell people about the miracle of the blood of Christ. That whatever sins they've done, They can be redeemed. They can be saved. That's the message that we have. It's a miracle. And like I said earlier, we're going to have people that are going to come in and they're going to be scarred up every way imaginable. The more wicked this world gets, the more... Have you ever noticed the devil just tries to scar people up more and more and more and more? And alienate everybody? I sat there the other day, we went through the drive-thru, Sister Denise and I, and there's this big old dude, about this tall, about this wide, and he had long nails on him with nail color. I look at that and I say, man, who could do that? What goes through your mind where you're trying to make yourself to look effeminate as a man? And I don't know, he may be a sodomite, I don't know, but that's the whole idea. The whole point of this thing, this is the culture that we're dealing with. And you have people out there with gang tattoos. You have people out there with like I said, have mutilated their body. But they're not beyond the reach of the blood of Christ.
That's right.
And this is the thing that we have to understand. We have to look at that blood, that precious blood that Jesus shed on Calvary's cross, and we ought to rejoice in it and be thankful for it because of the redemption that was purchased for us. That idea of everything in my life, every failure, it doesn't define me. It doesn't separate me from the love of God. I can get up. I can walk with God today. I can be totally miserable tomorrow. And yes, the world will hold grudges and the world sees you. It will take you time in the eyes of the world to redeem yourself. And like I said, that many of them won't, you'll never be able to redeem yourself in their eyes. One failure is all you need. But down in their heart of hearts, they are looking for redemption. Why is it that our culture has continually gone to the point to where every sin imaginable is somehow redefined as being something that's normal or natural? Or they take away the responsibility of the individual. You know, alcoholism, drunkenness is not a sin, it's a disease. Homosexuality is not a sin. Why do they do that? Because they are trying to redeem themselves. They are trying to... And the only way that they could ever come to a thought of redeeming themselves is to wipe out the definition of sin and lie to themselves and say it's not sin. That's the only way. That's why this whole idea, and this is the way the devil is so good at dealing with people, and so many people that are in on this up in the higher echelons and levels, this whole idea about the climate change and we've got to save the world and all this type of stuff like that, they're looking for redemption. And the devil's exploiting that. But if you go into the book of Psalms, Psalm 49, let me get over there real quick. Oops. In Psalm 49, in verse, let me get there very quickly. In Psalm 49, in verse 6, it says, "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him." And he says, For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. That he should still live forever and not see corruption. That's the idea that mankind has. They have this idea that somehow they can redeem their soul, redeem themselves, redeem their circumstances, redeem their situations, redeem the world, save the world. But they cannot do it because the redemption of the soul is precious. It's far more precious than anything man can offer, than anything man can do. You know, when we sing the song, Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. When we sing that song, what goes through your heart and mind? That ought to be an anthem for us. That ought to be something that we talk about to such a degree that the entire world knows that we believe that Jesus' shedding of His blood was the price of redemption, and it was sufficient. It was enough for everybody. It was enough for me. Because of that great miracle. Now, the sad thing about this entire message is it's not a miracle that I can put in a way that you can really wrap your head around it. It's just a miracle that you can choose to believe or disbelieve. I can't tell you how the shedding... I know Jesus' blood is sinless. And I know that in Acts 20:28, it equates Jesus' blood with God's blood. And I know Christ, and we preached on that last week. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Or week before last, rather. The Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we know that Christ was both fully man and both fully God. But you can't comprehend that either, can you? We can't comprehend how in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's beyond that. And to think that that blood that ran down His body and ran down the cross and was poured out on that day was enough to pay for every sin. And He proved it was enough because He rose from the dead. But it was enough to pay for every sin. It was enough to redeem all mankind. It was enough for everybody. That He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And we look at a miracle that's beyond our comprehension. And because it's so hard, so high and so holy above us and so difficult for us to wrap our heads around, sometimes we just look away from it. How else do you explain so many people that name the name of Christ living in sin? How else do you explain so many people who profess to know Christ as their Savior and yet they live in defeat and the circumstances of the world, whether it be the government or their health or whatever the case, just simply stops them from doing anything that's right and good and decent and holy? They have no joy. And yet if God raised a person physically from the dead, there'd be shouting and hollering and everything. You know what made the difference in the old time churches? Where people were excited about their salvation, and it was because of the blood of Jesus. You heard a lot of talking about the blood of Christ. People didn't shy away from it. They talked about it. They talked about the shedding of His blood. They talked about that atonement that was through His blood, and it was only through the blood of Jesus that your sins could be forgiven, that you could be washed clean from your sins. It was only the blood of Jesus. Look throughout the Scriptures again and again and again where it talks about redemption, and it always invariably in the New Testament you're going to find the blood of Jesus right there. And I can't make you believe. It's a miracle that the only way you can receive the benefit of it is to believe. It's not a miracle which is such that in order for you to you see it and then you believe, oh wow, he really did rise from the dead. But yet, if you look at the history of Bible-believing Christians, not everybody that says they're Christians, but if you look at the history of Bible-believing Christians and you look at the life of faithful Christians even today, you will see the results of that miracle, because you will see a change in life. You will see people who are more than conquerors through Him that loved them. That's what we ought to be seeing. That's what we ought to be. That's why we don't have to be afraid of the world or the devil or anything else. Why we don't have to live in fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. It's paid. I like that old hymn, Calvary covers it all. When's the last time you really thought about the miracle of the blood of Jesus? What are you holding on to today? What are you holding on to today that you ought to let go of, that you ought to confess before God and forsake it, and believe that if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness? What are you saying that the blood of Jesus is not sufficient for? What person do you look at out there and among your family, your friends, or the strangers in the world and say, well, the blood of Jesus can't reach there. It's not enough. You say, well, I'd never say that. Then why don't you tell people about it? The miracle of the blood of Jesus Christ. That redemption is a miracle. The greatest miracle there ever was. That God would take on the form of a man and shed His precious blood to atone for our sins. And it's enough. It's enough. It's more than enough. It's enough for every failure. Redeemed you from your past sins, and enough to keep you. That's a miracle. How many of you have ever thought to yourselves, I don't know why God even cares about me for who I am? Have you ever failed such a way that you just feel like you wouldn't blame God if He just gave up on you? But He doesn't, does He? You can't find anywhere in the Scripture the Bible says God's going to give up on you. You can't find anywhere in the scriptures that the Bible says that if we turn back to God, he's going to say, no, I don't have anything to do with you anymore. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. That miracle of that shedding of that blood. But see, that miracle has to be applied. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, that blood has to be applied. And the only way for it to be applied is like the Scripture says, through faith in His blood, belief that that blood was shed for your sins, that it paid the penalty for your sins, that it's enough, and that Christ rose from the dead and He died for your sins, He rose from the dead, and He's your only hope, and you put your faith and trust in Him. You put your faith and trust in that blood, that He is a propitiation, a payment, a full payment. Through faith in His blood. If you believe that blood was enough to pay for your sins. It has to be applied. There was one of the 12 that after Jesus had spent the night in Gethsemane, after His sweat was turned to blood, came up and kissed Him and then died and went to hell. Because that blood was never applied. To think that Judas might have kissed a drop of blood that could have atoned for every sin. But it wasn't properly applied. It wasn't applied to his heart. There was no faith in it. He didn't believe in the miracle of Christ's blood. Do you? That's your choice. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd take the Word of God today and You'd open our eyes, open our hearts, let us see the truth of it. So often it's easy to get caught up in hearing about the doctrines of the faith and the blood of Christ, and we hear it so often that it ceases to be miraculous to us. We stop believing in its power to change us and to be sufficient for all things, for all sin. We allow our sin to fester up and don't deal with it and don't come believing in the blood of Christ that's able to cleanse us from all sin. Lord, help us to change. And if there's one that's lost today that doesn't know for sure if they died today, they go to heaven. I pray for their salvation. I pray that they would believe that that blood shed on Calvary's cross for their sins was enough. And that if they'll put their faith and trust in Christ, that they can and will indeed be saved. Father, for those of us who've trusted Christ as our Savior, we trusted in that blood as payment for our sins. Help us, Lord, to continue to trust in that same blood to enable us to continue to grow up and walk with You and overcome every vestige of that old sinful nature that we fight against. Help us to realize and see anew the miracle of that blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.